Now let's continue on with how things will work in the millennium. And we've seen that God's principle is, if you sin, you're removed. And if you repent, you come back. So let's see again how it's going to be working during the millennium. Let's come to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 11. But now I will not be to the remnant of this people, as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For they shall sow in peace, the vineyard shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of the people to possess all these things. And we've seen it, that says there in Amos, that the plower is going to overtake the reaper. There's going to be such an increase of food. And just think, when there is a sabbatical year, every seventh year, it's going to be for those who work the land like a year-long vacation. I don't think they're just going to let it all go to pot. No, they're probably going to build fences. They're probably going to take care of things that they need to for the land. But God says in those years, he will give plenty of food to store. So those will be great years. Now, little sidebar on economics. The seven-year cycle of God is the way that you have continuous, stable economic development and growth without inflation. And men have never been able to figure that out. But it will be them. Okay? Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I did not repent, so again I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. So this is going to be quite a thing. Okay? These are the things that you shall do. Is this not New Testament doctrine? And here is how people are going to live. This is why the majority of people will enter into the kingdom of God when they're 100 years old. They'll be changed from flesh to spirit. Here's what you shall do. Each man speak the truth to his neighbor. Execute judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Now that's going to be really quite a thing. Remember when I talked about Perfectville? How would you like to live in Perfectville? Well, that's what the whole millennium is going to be. Perfect world, perfect nations, perfect people. Now, when they're sin, they can repent. Now, we'll talk about what happens when they don't repent in a little bit. Let no one imagine evil in your heart toward his neighbor, and do not love a false oath, for all these things I hate, says the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month. These were all the fasts of Judah, and they were doing these so they could, how shall we say, force God to bring them back to Jerusalem, rather than really repent, rather than really turn to God, so that God would do something. No, the self-righteousness to try and do it on their own. So God says, now in the millennium, things are going to change, and here's what they will be like. They shall be to the house of Judah for joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. All New Testament doctrine. See, so that's why it's so important for us today. And God has called us living in this world that's filled with evil, that we have to change, we have to grow, we have to overcome. And that is accomplished through the power of God's Spirit, through repentance, through training, through study, through prayer, through all of these things, that we develop the character of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, etc. Okay? Now, let's come on here to Isaiah 45. Let's see how this is here and what it's going to be. Isaiah 45. Okay? Now, as we said, the book of Isaiah contains a lot of things concerning the millennium. But it's interspersed with different things. And some verses come along, and all of a sudden, boom, here's a verse for the millennium. And then it goes back to what it was covering before. And then three or four more verses for the millennium. And then it continues to go ahead. And then it reverts back to something that happened before. So the book of Isaiah, if you don't understand that and realize that when you read through the book of Isaiah, it's not a chronological way from start to finish. It's all scattered in between, here a little, there a little, line here, precept there, and we have to rightly divide it. So Isaiah 45, and let's pick it up here in verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me that is on the earth. The Most High was in heaven, but on the earth, no God besides me. I clothe you though you have not known me, that they may know me from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's the supreme rulership of Jesus Christ and the saints with him. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. Drop down from above, O heavens, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let salvation bear fruit. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Think how that's going to be. Most wonderful thing about it is the food will be so good, it will be so natural, it will be raised in the right way, that guess what? We're not going to need doctors. We're not going to need hospitals. See? Now that is going to be something. We're not going to have prisons. Now we may have, as we'll see a little later, we may have areas for those who need to repent but haven't committed a grievous sin where they can go and take a sabbatical, as it were. So they can pray, they can study, they can repent, they can recover from their problem or fault or sin, whatever it is, and then be reinstituted into society. All right, let's go on here. Now, there won't be any of that fighting or anything going on like it says here. Woe to him who fights with the one who made him, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making, or your work? He has no hands. Now think about it. There will be people who will come along, and they will think God is not fair. So this is their woe. Woe to him that says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what are you laboring over? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the one who formed him. Ask me of things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Because that's the whole purpose and goal of what God wants it to be. Because God is the one who creates the character in us. We do the work, God does the forming. We do the labor, and God gives the power with his Holy Spirit to accomplish these things. All right? Now then, let's come to 2 Kings 17. Now we saw when Adam and Eve sinned, they were removed from the Garden of Eden, but they could come to the East Gate. And there, that's where they met God. And that's then where the altar for burnt offerings and so forth was. And that's where they would go to God, and he would give them instruction of what they should do. Okay? Now, let's come to 2 Kings 17. So we learn from that right at first, when they sinned, they were moved out of the Garden of Eden, and they could be right close to it, but they couldn't go in it. When Cain sinned, you can read in Genesis 4, murdered his brother, he was exiled even further into the land of wandering because there was no repentance on his part. Now, I don't know if there had been repentance if God would have restored Abel. Who knows? We don't know all of those things. But we do know this. We do know this, that when there is grievous sin, now we're going to read about exile here, they are removed from the land. And God is the one who sends the forces, the agents, the armies, to remove them from the land. Now we find this in 2 Kings 17. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 7. Now it came to pass, because the children of Israel had sinned. Now it shows the first part, that they brought Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. Okay? They sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which the nations had made. Now the children of Israel secretly did things that were not right against the Lord. Now then, if anyone tries that in the millennium, what are we going to say? Here is the way to walk in it. To the right hand or to the left hand. Okay? Whichever way you go, you're going to come right back to the middle. Secretly. And they build high places in all the cities for themselves, from the watchtower to the fortified city. They set up images and groves for themselves in every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense in all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had removed from before them. And they practiced evil things to provoke the Lord to anger. Now, I want you to stop and think today. Now, remember the DVD that you got. Abortion, America's greatest sin. God's judgment is coming upon this nation. And it's going to come, and it's going to be heavy, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be hard. And it's going to be exactly as God has said, because God is going to be avenged of the blood of the innocent that they abort. Now, granted, there may be a small respite for a time, because some states are trying to come as close as they can to outlawing abortion. But abortion is one of the most evil things that God said, like sacrificing children to the gods. It never even came into his mind. So you can know for sure that what you see with all the evil going on, with the immigrants coming in, with the drugs coming in, with all of these things taking place, the problems and difficulties within the cities, these are all punishments from God because of abortion and turning your back on God, and for having myriads and myriads of witches and witchcraft. So it's going to come just like it is right here. Okay? For they serve, verse 12, the idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. And the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law that I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. They always had the word of God. They knew. Now think what it's going to be like during the millennium. I'm sure at the first part of the millennium, everybody's going to be willing to cooperate because they want everything to go well. Okay? But when you get into the middle of the millennium, there's probably going to be more sinners. There's probably going to be more people who want to go their own way. And if they want to go their own way, and if they don't repent, where they're given a sabbatical, where they can just stay and study and pray and overcome and repent, then they're going to have to be removed further away. Now, we'll talk about this in a little bit. They will be removed further away if they don't repent, just like Cain. Cain didn't repent, and he was removed. Children of Israel didn't repent, and they were removed. Children of Judah didn't repent, and they were removed. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but hardened their neck. That's the key. When people come to harden their necks or harden their heart and refuse because they just want it their way. Now, there will be those people during the millennium, and they will be removed. Remember where we started? The sinner shall die accursed, cut off from God, no opportunity for eternal life. Like the neck of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers, and the warnings that he testified against them, and went after vanity, became vain, and went after the nations around them concerning whom the Lord had charged them not to do like them. And of course, they are going to have the whole witness of all human history in every nation on earth. So if anyone decides to be stubborn, they will be removed. Now, is it possible that even in that situation, someone might repent? And if that's the case, will that be recognized and be brought back? Very likely. Let's continue. Now here's the grievous sin. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made molten images, two calves for themselves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal, and they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and sorceries, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. And not one was left, only the tribe of Judah by itself. Also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes which Israel had made. The Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them to the hands of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. Okay? Now, let's look at something in Revelation 20. Now, this one is perhaps one of the most difficult to understand. But as we have seen, there will be those during the millennium who will sin. There's just no way around it. And what will happen when they sin? They'll be given a chance to repent. And if they don't repent, then they'll be given a sabbatical probably, so they can study, they can pray, they can yield to God. And if they do that and repent, they'll be reinstated. But those who don't will be sent away. They will be permanently removed. All right? So here, in Revelation 20, verse 3, and he, that is Satan, the angel, cast him, Satan, into the abyss and locked him up and set the seal over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. Now, as we get further and further into the millennium, will we have more and more sinners who will have to be removed? Where will they be removed to? Well, Revelation 20 tells us. We'll see that in just a minute. All right? Till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, it is ordained that he be loosed for a short time. Now, we don't know how long a short time is, but generally in the Bible, that's 3 years. Okay? 3 to 3.5 years. Now, let's come down here to verse 7. Now, when 1,000 years had been completed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, of whom the number is as the sand of the sea, to gather them for war. Gather them together for war. Now, this has to be those who are exiled and removed. Now, let's stop and think about it. Right at the first part of the millennium, we saw the final battle was with Gog and Magog and all of the other nations. And God literally brought upon them such devastation that he said they would know that he is the Lord their God. So those of Gog and Magog at the first of the millennium knew the Lord. Now, God did not predestinate Gog and Magog to be the ones to suffer what's going to be suffered here. Otherwise, God would be a respecter of persons. So, we need to look at this as not Gog and Magog, the people, because it says the nations who are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, we need to look at that as land, territory. Now, apparently, this is where they are exiled not to come back. And there they live until they're 100 and they're buried. Well, by the end of the millennium, there's not an opportunity for all of them to live to be 100 and be buried. So what does God do? The millennium must end. So here are those incorrigible out there in Gog and Magog. So lo and behold, here comes Satan the devil. And he says, finally, I'm out of prison. The God down in Jerusalem, he had me locked up for 1,000 years. But now I am out. And I want to tell you what wonderful people you are. And I want to tell you that now we have a chance to do something that will save every one of us. Because God has not dealt with you in a right way. God is unfair. God is too harsh. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let's all get together and we're going to plan for a great war. Because Jerusalem down here and all of those there, if we can conquer Jerusalem, we will control the world. And since they have no defenses, we will win. And all of the people worship Satan. And they all worked hard and they all got busy. And they all made everything for war. Now, why did God allow this? Because those who were not repentant cannot move over into the next phase of God's plan, the 100-year period, with the second resurrection. They can't be with those people. So, they're incorrigible. This brings them, when they come down to Jerusalem, let's look at it here now. Yes, of whom the number is the sand of the sea, to gather them together for war. And then I saw them go up upon the breadth of the earth and encircle the camp of the saints, probably during the Feast of Tabernacle time, and at Feast of Tabernacle time is when representatives from all the nations of the world will be there representing their people who back in their nations are keeping the Feast of Tabernacle. Because God has said in Zechariah 14, if the all nations don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, then those who don't have rain is going to be the curse, and those who have rain, he's going to cut it off until they all obey him. Okay, so here, this has to be probably the Feast of Tabernacles time. Camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed them. Now think about this for a minute. The final rebellion, and fire comes down from God to consume them. Now what is that? That is their first death. Now God has decreed that all the incorrigible wicked will die twice. So, this is their first death, and then we'll see when we get to the last great day. They're all going to be raised out of the grave for their second death. Now, so this is what God is going to do. This is how God is going to handle it. This is why, during the millennium, everyone's going to live 100 years, and those who are fit for the kingdom of God will be transformed from flesh to spirit. Those who have not repented will have been exiled. During the millennium, before it comes to the end of the millennium, the sinner being 100 will be accursed and buried. Then the last part of the millennium, it looks like there's going to be increasingly number of people who do not believe God, who choose to go their own way, and they will be exiled to Gog and Magog for this final battle. So that tells you what God is going to do with the wicked and how God is going to bring many more people into the kingdom of God during the millennium. So thank you for being here today. And we'll see you tomorrow.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.